Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am very honored because in the studio with us today, we have Dr. Bob McDowell. He's a superintendent for the Hastings Public Schools, which are getting set to go back after Labor Day. And so I know this is a really busy time, so thank you so much for coming in. How have you been?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. It's been a busy, year and a half, 2 years?
That's right.
You actually, let's go way, way, way back. You interviewed virtually.
I did.
What was that like?
It was interesting. Interviewed over Zoom, actually. Okay. All of the interviews were over Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was just different. But at the same time, it was kind of nice to be able to see people up close and personal while you were interviewing.
And then we kick off the school year last year, and that was kind of a journey that, can I tell you, I was telling it to your counterpart in Prescott, Dr. Spacuzza. It's almost as if we forget that whole year happened. I know you probably aren't there, but as a parent, you got to let go of so much of this. Can you just have to keep going forward?
Yeah.
And so it almost seems like we're just off to a new fresh start this school year, and I think it's going to be a great year.
Well, we hope so. You know, we're not back to normal yet,
no.
I don't think, but definitely different than last year. And
it has a different feel.
It has a different feel. Teachers that have been back so far have a different feel and are excited to be back.
Okay.
I think they're just excited knowing that we're planning to have kids back in school. And so, it has a definite different feel and a good feel to it right now.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be nice for the kids to get back to some sort of a routine that they're used to. I know, like for middle school and high school, they're going back to the shorter periods with more classes and not have to worry about A day, B day, or whatever it was. So that's going to be good.
Yeah, that's going to be great, I think, for students to have that piece of normalcy back. It's going to be different. You know, I think of middle school, those fifth graders and sixth graders this year, they didn't experience the normal middle school last year. So we've got two grades that are going to experience that new, which is why we're bringing the sixth grade in with the fifth grade a day early this year. And the same thing at the high school with the ninth and 10th graders. So, you know, it is going to be different, but I think it's going to be good because the students and the teachers, again, will have that normal routine and it won't feel as disjointed.
We all crave routine, don't we? Even if we say we maybe don't.
I think we do. I think we like to know what's coming. We like to know when it's coming. And we like our routines and the comfort level that comes with that.
Tell me about all the exciting things that have been going on. You have new teachers, I know. And what's it like for a new teacher? Can I tell you, I can't even think back that far about what it must be to have your first teaching job and how exciting it is. And doesn't that energize everybody?
I think it does. You know, I was with the new teachers yesterday morning. Our new teachers to the district were meeting for new teacher workshops yesterday and today. They were with our principals and our directors, and it was just an exciting feel. You could feel the energy coming off of the teachers, just getting ready to be a part of Hastings and be a part of the nice and amazing things that we have going on here. That's what I think brought a lot of the excitement. And then at the same time, you see the excitement of our veteran staff who are trying to show off all that is great that's going on. You know, they took the new teachers on a tour of Hastings today and gave them insight on what is it about Hastings, which I think is a really unique thing for us. When you think about the fact that the schools are a really big part of Hastings and Hastings is a really big part of the schools.
Absolutely.
And so it's important to do that type of thing. And so again, the principals and the directors took the new teachers around and it's just great.
I love it. So do you think that's unique to a school system?
I think it varies. I think there's school districts that do that or a version of that because I think it's a common piece that people believe is important, and I think it is, even if it's just to understand where things are in the town.
Well, you know what? Next year when you do that, we will all stand outside and wave to you as you drive by KDWA. How's
there
that?
You go.
I promise you.
Yeah,
no,
that'd be
you
great.
Keep me in the loop. I think that would be kind of fun. I think they would enjoy that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about getting ready for the school year. You mentioned that some new kids coming in. Do you have open houses then for new kids?
Yeah, actually last night we had our ninth graders at the high school, and so we did our welcome back process for them.
It's always
and,
well done.
Yeah, Principal Johnson and the administrative team up there did a really nice job. We had lots of parents and students show up and were able to ask their questions. And that's the other part with us being back a little more normal. You know, with that comes some anxiety about what's the school year going to be like. And so, yes, we need to have our open houses, and those will be taking place next week. If people have questions about time and location, that's on our website and on the district calendar for the different elementary schools and for the middle school. So all of those important things are in the works to try and kick off the school year the best we can.
And, you know, I think there's an energy that comes with kids actually being in the school and walking around and checking out their classes and meeting their teachers. And that's something certainly that you didn't have perhaps last year. So this is great.
Yeah, this is really going to be an opportunity for those initial meetings and connections to really set the tone for the start of the school year.
And I know football's back. That's a big deal. When you talk about Hastings and the school being a part of the city and the city being a part of the school, that's going to be a big thing. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. It will be. And, you know, fall sports kicked off. And so all of the things that kids do throughout the school year that are in person. That's really our goal all year long, is to keep that happening.
Well, I know that there has been a lot of discussion leading up to the school, not only in Hastings, but certainly nationally, about masking.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an important piece of decision making when it comes to, you want to have kids in school. That is what we as parents want. That's what the kids want. So with that, the school board had some tough decisions.
Yeah. The school board really had a extremely long meeting on Wednesday night, but I have to give them a lot of credit. They really did, whether people agree or disagree where the school board landed with masking students through eighth grade, the school board really did a great job of school boarding, right? They debated back and forth. They really kept it as a professional conversation. They were willing to continue to ask each other questions and try to gain clarification and come to something that they could all agree on, even though it might not have been what they individually would have chosen. So I think that's important. I think it's important for the community to see that, that we really have a highly functioning school board right now that takes in public comment and uses that to help make a decision, but in the end really puts a lot of onus on themselves for being the ones who have to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a great job with that. And I think to the point of, you know, wanting to have kids in school, we all want the kids to be in school as much as possible. And it's that balance. I've been telling people, we're trying to balance student safety and keeping kids in school and learning. And without the directives and requirements from the federal and state government, that all gets shouldered by the local school districts, which isn't really helpful.
No, it makes it hard.
It makes it hard because you're trying to make a different level of decision making. But at the same time, I don't think anybody wants to end up where Albert Lee ended up.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's something that maybe a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah.
Because they did already start their school year.
Yeah, and they made it 5 days before they had to have 290 kids go out because of quarantine. And that's the problem, is when we're not able to put those mitigating strategies in place that help our students not be considered close contacts, then we see students being quarantined because they are around somebody who tests positive. And, you know, I believe the number, they had 36 positive cases that resulted in 290 students going out. You know, and we have elementary schools that are 450 kids. So that's three quarters of one of our elementary schools that would have been out. So we're trying to make decisions that at least limit that as much as possible. And we don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't. But to clarify further, Albert Lee started the school year with masks.
Optional.
Mm-hmm.
Masks optional. You know, and my role ends up being giving the school board a recommendation, and they wrestle with that. And that was the recommendation that we gave, was to have our students age two. That's the CDC's recommendations, age two, which seems, I think, odd to some people, but that's why.
And I think also people don't understand that kids are in school at 2 years old, and they're not only just in school, but they're interacting sometimes with seniors at the Tilden Community Center.
They could be. They could be. Or siblings. So we recommended, and that's what the board ultimately approved, was masking through eighth grade. And it's just, you know, we know that the students under 12 can't be vaccinated. There's really only three ways that a student is not considered a close contact, and that's that they're vaccinated, or they've been positive with COVID in the past 3 months, or both students in the scenario have masks on. We're going to put mitigation strategies in place, and masking, we believe, is one of them that needs to be in place to keep kids safe and to keep them in school.
Because last year, it wasn't necessarily the number of COVID cases. It was that whole contact tracing and then quarantining. And that really was a burden on your health staff and on the parents and on the kids. And
Yeah, I would say what, you know, for us, it was, I wouldn't say it was a burden. It kept us busy.
No kidding.
But it had to be done. I think it was a burden on our parents because when we contact trace and kids have to go home, that puts parents in a position of having to find care for those kids. So I think that's why I keep saying it's a balance. It's a balance between doing things that keep kids safe, but also keep kids in school.
You know, one of the other questions that people probably will have is why then are masks optional for high schoolers?
Yeah. So the one difference is our high schoolers, 9 through 12, are able to get vaccinated. And again, that's one of the things that the CDC says is an exemption is if you're vaccinated to be a close contact. We're recommending masks that if families and students are feeling strongly that they want to mask, then they're welcome to do that. If they're feeling at this point that they don't want a mask, we'll support that. But we believe that students have the opportunity to get vaccinated, and so we're hoping that that helps.
Do you have statistics for the high school students, the number that are vaccinated?
Roughly, yeah. So what we did is we were able to pull the numbers for 9th grade and 12th grade and roughly get an approximation. Sure. We have about 50%, we believe, of our high school students who are vaccinated.
And then as far as staff goes, if masks are required, obviously, from 2 years old to 8th grade, staff would be required to wear them as well.
That's correct. And the difference this year that we have some what we call limited removal pieces. So, for example, if a staff member is in a, let's say they're in a lecture hall where they for sure can stay away beyond 6 feet and it would be better for the students to see their face, they can unmask to speak. And so we have some scenarios where teachers would be able to take masks off to make it easier to teach and, more importantly, more beneficial for our students to see them teaching.
And what about high school, since the masks are recommended only for high school kids? What about high school staff?
It would be the same for the high school staff.
Okay.
So if that changes, if we get in a spot where we have to require masks, then the staff at that level would be required to wear masks.
You bring up a good point about learning how we do learn sometimes by watching people's mouths move. And I know there was discussion at the board meeting about getting masks that have a clear covering over somebody's mouth.
And the recommendation that we have at this point is that there are some masks that are appropriate for that, which our special education teachers and special education directors work with. As a general rule, we don't do that. That's not recommended. But I do know that, and I've seen the different variations that those teachers of, for example, speech students can use for those situations.
So what else do you want to tell us about going into the new year? What's it going to look like? Everybody's going to ride the bus. Crazy.
Yeah. You know, our buses are set to run, which is good.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, we're expecting to see buses running on the first day of school. We're expecting to see kids biking and walking and it really looking more normal for everyone. And then we expect to be able to walk through the buildings and just see the excitement that's happening, kids being back, and some normalcy, as you pointed out before, with activities. So I think that once we get back up and running, this is going to feel very differently than it did last year.
Can you please tell all parents listening when school starts and when it stops?
I can tell you that it starts September 8th.
Okay, sorry. What time of day does it start? Do you know?
It depends upon the different buildings.
Okay.
So I would recommend that if at this point parents don't know when it starts and stops for their students, that they go to the website or what I do know is that the principals have sent out to all families email updates that explain all the details specific to their building.
Perfect.
Because remember, we have a staggered start.
Yes.
So depending upon what grade level your student's in, the first day might not be the first day. So again, pay attention to the calendars. Pay attention to communication from your building principal.
Not only that, but I think you do a great job with your weekly communications.
Thank you.
Is that going to continue?
It will. We're shifting, though, to Friday. So right now, we're going to be
What am I going to do on Sundays now? Read
it? You can still wait and read it. You can still wait and read it. But we thought it would be nice for families to get it on Friday going into the weekend, and that way the people that want to read it on Friday night or Saturday, they can and kind of process that a little bit and not have to wait until Sunday afternoon.
But I love it.
It'll be weekly.
And for people that are listening that perhaps don't get those updates, what do you put in there?
Depending upon the week, really there are things related to specific buildings, things going on in buildings, anything that changes district-wide. There is, and still will be, most of my information will most likely be related to where we are with COVID and all of that. But we've adopted a kind of a layered approach to our communication, where the purpose of that radar update is really to give people the broad strokes of here's what's going on. And then inside of each one of those broad strokes, there's usually a link or a direction to more specific information. So normally those radar updates are followed up by the principals with a more detailed update with that type of information. But we just want to try and make sure we have people on board with what's going on and when things are happening.
And it's great information when it comes then from the schools as well, you know, bubbles down to that level. Well, I think it's going to be a great year.
Yeah.
You mentioned, you know, this is how we're going to start the year off. What sort of parameters could change that?
The school board decided that we would utilize a table or a chart or matrix, whatever you want to call it, that really is spread across, much like the CDC's chart, in terms of low, moderate, substantial, and high numbers. We're using a chart that is similar to last year, where it has an upper end of 50, and then we are using a metric that it comes off of the Minnesota School Start website, which is Jay Wolfson's website out of the U of M. And so he tracks data which can be extrapolated 14 days for 10,000 people. And so we're using those numbers to decide when are we in low, mid, substantial, or high ranges. And so what would happen is if we hit 50, so that's the magic number.
50 cases.
50 cases over 2 weeks per 10,000 people based off that site, then that would cause us to go masking K-12. And on the same token, if we drop below 20 per 10,000 over 2 weeks and we stay there for 2 weeks, then we would reduce our masking requirements. So we're trying to keep it as similar to last year in process as possible, because we know people got used to kind of seeing it that way and modifying that way.
Well, it certainly has been very well thought out, and I know that you can't make everybody happy, but you're trying to keep the kids in school.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Keep them safe and keep them in school.
Well, we appreciate that. And
thank
me
you.
As a working parent, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Great to see you. Thank you
for
all you're doing. Dr. Bob McDowell, he is the superintendent for the Hastings Public School System, and I know they are very, very interested in anything that you have to say or comment on. You guys do a great job of following up with people. So we're all a part of this together, and so we hope that people remember that. But it's going to be a great school year, and we're going to kick it off soon. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.